Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bond. James Bond.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass to Mars.
I feel mean.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Everything Action Cast for the week of September 28th, 2015. I'm your host, Zach. This time we have Chris.
Hello.
And Joe.
Hey, everybody.
All right. And it's our pre New York Comic Con podcast. We're getting ready for the insanity of next week. And there's a bunch of news before we head out to New York next week. So let me dive right in. And actually, one of the big things that's going to be at New York Comic Con next week is they're going to premiere the first episode of the new X-Files miniseries. And they put out a trailer this week. It was like part one was during Gotham and part two was during Minority Report or something, or flip-flopped. But I guess to get the people to actually watch those shows. Hmm. Especially Minority Report, because I don't think no one watches Minority Report. But yeah, so 2 minute full trailer for the X-Files coming up in January. Either you guys see it?
No.
Or are you interested?
I'm interested in it, but I'm just trying to stay away from it because I'm not done with the original series yet.
Yeah, I really want to know how much you need to watch of the original show to be able to watch this.
That's kind of what I want to know too, man. Because I basically know a lot of the famous pop culture X-Files stuff that goes down.
Yeah.
The cigarette smoking guy and all that stuff.
And
I know right. Yeah. And I know that Mulder gets lost in space and all that shit. Not really, but just kind of disappears for a bit. All the sort of more popular pop culture shit from the show. It's kind of I would equate it with Breaking Bad.
Mm-hmm.
With it's if you don't watch it but you still know that Walt is Heisenberg.
Yeah.
You get
spoiler
that.
Spoiler alert.
Los Hermanos.
right. Los Pollos Hermanos.
Yeah.
That sort of shit. Or you know that there's an episode about them trying to kill a fly.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. That's basically the level I'm on, so I'm trying to kind of tread cautiously because
mm-hmm.
I don't want to ruin it.
I'm trying to figure out if the movies are canon now.
Oh, they're both I forget. I think the first movie takes place between seasons 2 and 3 or something, and this I forget when the second movie takes place, but they're both.
Wait, the movie was between the seasons.
It's supposed to be they're set where the events of the movie are between the seasons or something.
Really, I thought
yeah.
It was supposed to be the end. Because that's what happens years later. I didn't know. I'm so lost.
I'm pretty sure they're sort of in between stuff. It was Fight the Future and then some other one. I Want to Believe, I think, is this other movie.
The Future, yeah.
Well, Fight the Future is the first one, and then I think I Want to Believe is the second one.
Hmm. I just remember there was Black Goop, and then they were in Alaska. That's I don't know which one sort of which.
Yeah, so the first one was after is it's after the fifth season because that's when that was the last season before movie. So it takes place between episode. Yeah, it takes place between season 5 and 6, and then the second movie is I think. Yeah, the second movie is the last thing that we got before this new reboot. So that the second movie was kind of the last X-Files thing.
Mm. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. For a while, I thought that was the end. So the bringing it back is a surprising we're not done yet.
Yeah,
what a twist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I'm halfway through the second season on Netflix. I was going through it for a pre-study for a while, and then I kind of just trailed off because there was a ton of other stuff, TV shows and stuff.
Yeah. That happened to me too. I'm almost at the end of the first season. Then I was well, time to do other shit.
well, there's 30 shows on right now that I need to
watch. Yeah, pretty much.
I think we stopped watching because like you stopped because Hannibal got really good. I mean, that was what made you derail.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was watching. I don't know if like I definitely had like I had to binge Mad Men to like get up to like season 4, I think. Then I was like on board on Mad Men for like 4 and 5 or the last couple seasons of Mad Men. I was like current with, and I had like binge like all of Breaking Bad before like the last couple of episodes aired or the last season aired or something. I was also trying to watch like Star Trek Next Generation, and then I was like, I got to...
No, that is a lot to handle, Zach.
Yeah, I got through like part of season 1, which is apparently terrible.
Well, season 1's only important to know why like that one chick isn't there anymore, mm-hmm. The security woman.
Yeah.
Because the black blob killed her.
A bit thin, did you?
It's just, it's so weird, because like the second episode of that show was like, they're all drunk. There's like a weird space cloud that makes them all drunk.
Nice.
And they focus a lot about Data for some time.
Data and Wesley. And Wesley.
Shut up, Wesley.
I feel funny, but also good.
Oh, God. That needs to be a shirt.
That's going to... What are you talking about? We're going to Comic-Con. We're going to see my first beer, the experience, where it's like all these fucking freshly-faced nerd 21-year-olds having their beer.
Mm-hmm.
I had that experience a couple times at like PAX and at GDC. So it's gonna be fun.
We'll show them. We'll groom them.
Yeah.
We'll groom them. Seriously, find us at Barcade if you're going to New York Comic Con. We'll
teach you how to drink.
We'll teach you how to drink. We'll have some laughs.
Or the blood rage.
Maybe buy you a beer if you know what the hell our website is.
Yeah.
Ooh.
How about that? It's Uncle Joe's promise as well as. All his little children. You're all my children.
So, anyway, speaking of reboot news, Fox is apparently developing an A-Team TV show reboot.
Kill it with fire!
And Chris Morgan, who's one of the producers on the Fast and Furious movies, is going to be producing it, and also possibly writing their first episode.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of redeeming, but I'd still kind of rather just get an A-Team movie sequel.
Yeah, let's get a sequel to the fucking movie. Like,
yeah, and we don't need to keep cranking those out, but you could do one every couple of years for the next like,
mm-hmm.
you know, 10 years maybe.
Just keep replacing Rampage with like another up and coming black guy.
Hey, well, listen, Rampage could definitely do it again. I think he was great as BA.
Yeah,
but you know, Bradley Cooper still. Hanging and banging and
yeah, that movie team was great.
It's tremendous.
It was Hannibal. Come on,
that was perfect. And even more perfect was the way they, you know, kind of let it end. That little cliffhanger setting up John Hamm as like, you know,
the new weird the CIA the agent. Weird,
yeah, exactly. So that would have been pretty sweet to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just wondering who would you cast as like the new TV A team, like,
see that's
Liam Neeson again.
Yeah. That's a much different story because it has to be all unknowns basically,
or like people like affordable, like
Bobo versions of them. So it's like who is like a Bradley Cooper low budget guy?
Low budget Bradley Cooper.
Like,
oh, I mean, Bradley,
Rob Lowe.
Bradley Cooper's showing up on the Limitless show.
Limitless,
so,
yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
But no, there's a guy that, what's that, like, the Mystery Files or whatever, like, the cop woman show?
Shelby Woo.
No, the one that's run now, like, the redhead. You know what I'm talking about?
Laura?
Yeah.
Oh,
her husband character.
Josh Lucas?
Josh Lucas. He could be the Bobo version of Bradley Cooper, and then you just keep finding weird downgrade versions of the actors. Wesley Snipes, if you know, in case that show doesn't work.
Yeah, that's true.
The new pocket-sized BA.
Get Michael J. White as BA.
That Holy would actually shit. Be great. That yeah. would be great.
But my mind be like, Black Dynamite got a new job. Like,
well, is it BA just Black Dynamite, basically?
More or less. But I think if Arrow wasn't in full swing, I think Stephen Amell could be a good face.
Definitely. Oh, yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Definitely, I could see that.
I could see that.
Just make Diggle BA again.
You know what? I could also see that, too. I really could.
Just cast everyone from Arrow as the A-team.
Just Arrow Season 4 is just the A-team. A for Arrow.
Like,
Dr. Twist is that Hannibal is a girl, but they call her Felicity. I don't know. They'll figure out what to do.
Mm.
But just remember, the last real like 80s TV show reboot they tried was Knight Rider, and
yeah,
that did not.
And also Bionic Woman, that happened too.
Charlie's
Angels, yeah.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the last one that was like on par with like the fucking like A-Team.
Yeah.
Like, so yeah, Bionic Woman would probably be in that category. Charlie's Angels, I guess. But definitely Knight Rider, I would put up there in the same, like the same people who are watching Knight Rider were watching the A-Team, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I could see that.
We can rebuild him, but we don't want to spend a lot of money.
And so, other TV news. So I think we talked about it last week or 2 weeks ago, the new Jack Ryan TV show that they're working on. So that's apparently going to go over to Amazon. Amazon picked it up.
Wow. Okay.
And it's going to go through their, I guess, pilot program that they usually do, where it's watch it and vote on it.
Hopefully that means they could be a little more edgy with what they include.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little curse words. Some blood.
Yeah. And it's Michael Bay and Carlton Cuse are producing it. So. It's supposed to be like prime CIA Jack Ryan.
Oh, cool. Just so I guess like that's the thing now is just to take like badass male movie characters and give them TV shows because they're doing a Taken show too, right?
Yep, with like. Pre, like, CIA preventer Ryan Hill. Yeah.
Jeez. I mean, I'll watch both of these, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, like, damn. It's like pretty soon they're going to do a show about, like, Gotham City or something, you know? Who knows? The possibilities are endless.
Yeah. So, other news, apparently Sony's working on a new Men in Black trilogy, but without Will Smith, because he doesn't want to come back for Men in Black movies, so.
Because he knows when a good thing dies.
Yeah. So I guess, yeah, so I guess it probably seems like just a total reboot of the Men in Black series.
A reboot? Like, I don't mind other Tales of the Agents, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe give us a cameo from Tommy Lee Jones or Will Smith, or like allude to them.
Yeah,
be like, oh, no one's seen.
They retired, you know, or something.
Right, like, oh, no one's seen Agent J. Like, we don't talk about what happened to Agent K. Like, huh? Like, what? What's going on? Build intrigue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I don't know why. Just like, oh, because Will Smith was the definite agent of Men in Black. Like. No more, like, we have to reboot everything about him.
Well, and after the third movie, it would make a lot of sense to kind of, like, pump the brakes and go look at what someone else is doing.
Yeah.
Like, that's the perfect, like, okay, let's go explore.
Yeah, because, like, I didn't mind Men in Black 3. Like, it was a nice, like, other story, but they never made another one again. I'm happy with it, you know?
Same. It's a weird spot to be in,
yeah.
But... whatevs.
They're also talking about that weird, like, 21 Jump Street Men in Black crossover.
I think that was just a joke.
Yeah,
it gotta be a joke. That can't be fucking real.
Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill, the new Men in Black.
But I could see that happening. I could, like, I don't think it was a real possibility, but, like, I could kind of see it happening.
Mm-hmm.
Just because if they want to really, like, just expand the crazy... as much as they can. Can you imagine fucking, like, a really dirty Men in Black like with Ice Cube as their fucking, like, you know, chief.
Yeah.
Men in Black. Like, yeah, that's right. Aliens exist. What? Is that fucking hard to believe? Did you see the other two movies and all that bullshit?
Yeah, I think it'd be like an R-rated Men in Black would probably be pretty fun. Because that first trilogy is pretty safe just because Will Smith's part of it. So it's just like...
Haha.
Yeah.
So I can buy school supplies.
Be nice to your parents.
Listen, I'm sad he won't be involved because I'm a very, very big Will Smith fan. I was really disappointed he wasn't going to be in ID4 2 either. But, you know, whatever. Life goes on, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's in more mature stuff like Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Which he needs to do a rap for. We need the Will Smith rap to come back.
That's how you knew it was the summer, because
mm-hmm.
there was a new rap song out about a new Will Smith movie.
That was the best part of the Willennium.
Yeah. But for real, though, wasn't there like a 3-year back-to-back-to-back period? Yep. There was like Will Smith movie and a song with it.
It was Wild Wild West.
It was like Independence Day, Men in Black, Wild Wild West, Men in Black 2.
No, but like for the songs, it was Men in Black.
Wild Wild West.
Right, and then Wild Wild West, and then...
Nod Your Head.
Like, which Nod is, Your Head, yeah. Oh, my God. Two. Tremendous. Yeah. Tremendous.
Where was getting jiggy with it in Miami? Like, at some point, they were there.
Sort of like...
That was after Independence Day.
Yeah. It was like, that was the Willennium album.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, did Big Willie Style have Men in Black on it? Maybe? I don't know. I get those confused. It's been a while, but all I know is that was like a strong 5 years where it was just like, fucking Will Smith domination. It was a better time, man. It really was.
It was like, I think you said like 4th of July is like Big Willie Day or something now.
Yeah. Oh, it has to be.
Yeah.
It has to be.
Because like every Will, like it was like a Will Smith movie every like July 4th.
Well, they also like kicked the dog dick out of the box office. Mm-hmm. Like they always did so well.
He was like what superhero movies are now, where like you compete against them.
Dude, that's fucking brilliant. Yeah, that's perfect.
Because it was like, oh, watch this like rapping black guy be in this family-friendly action movie or comedy.
Will Smith is the original Marvel.
Well, I think Bad Boys 2 was in that area, too, I think.
That was at the end. Yeah. That was at the end of that era. Because I remember, like, after Bad Boys 2, he didn't rap anymore.
Yeah, that was his, like, gritty, like, send-off. That was his Unforgiven.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because it kind of bookended with Bad Boys, like kind of started it all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I know that wasn't his first movie. There's that other movie he did before it that he was kind of like a minor role in it. I think it was it wasn't a Quentin Tarantino movie. What the fuck? I can't remember, but it was like a really serious role.
Yeah.
Was it Enemy of the State?
No.
No. But what I'm saying is that like Bad Boys was definitely his first big like starring role.
Oh, yeah. That was like co-starring at the end of Prince of Bel-Air.
Yes, yes, yes. So that, like, kicked it off. I mean, arguably, that's what killed the show, but whatever. Like, you know, I'm glad it went down the way it did. Anyway, that started it, and then it's just great that the other bookend was pretty much Bad Boys 2, because since then, you know, there's been some other stuff, like, you know, Hitch.
Hancock. Did he rap in Hitch?
No.
Hancock.
I am
he didn't rap in Hancock either.
I'm actually genuinely surprised he didn't do a rap for Hancock. I'm not trying to be funny, but I was just like, that would have been like the perfect opportunity for something like silly about being homeless and angry and also superhuman.
Or like a 7 pounds rap.
Oh my God, the saddest Jesus. Rap ever.
Ha ha ha. 7 pounds. Ha ha.
I throw it in my kidneys. Ha ha.
This is getting risky.
I'm really sure. I'm shocked it was an iRobot rap. Like, that seems like a perfect, like...
Oh, yeah, I forgot about iRobot.
iRobot?
He could like, brought back the robot, or, like, just...
Could dance
back,
with it?
Yeah.
Bring back the robot. He could have done, like, he could have sampled, because he was big on, like, sampling stuff.
Yeah.
You know? Like, so, he could have sampled, like, Dancing Machine, mm-hmm. by the Jackson 5. Done something cool with it.
Or like Mr. Roboto.
Maybe, yeah. Listen, I'm closing my eyes and I'm seeing the music video right now. It's just him.
It's him dancing
with a robot army.
A ton of all those robots in the background, and then like the one comes up. Yeah,
obviously bitches. I mean, just that's obvious, but also an army of robots.
Mm-hmm.
I do like how we basically are music directors from like the early 2000s now. Like in our head, we have all the skills necessary to make a really generic music video.
Yeah, man.
That's basically the first Men in Black video. It was just him dancing with like Mikey the alien.
Mike was the alien in the movie for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I think they had to shoot that video first. They're like, oh yeah, he's gonna be like the Mickey Mouse of this series.
Yeah.
Then he actually made like the final cut for like 2 minutes or whatever it was. And they're like, oh. Okay.
There's a great art, like the AV Club does like hate song where like people just talk about like songs they hate, and then there's awesome like Paul Scheer went on to talk about Wild Wild West. And how terrible the music video is, because like they're talking about, like it's like a weird, like it's like a tougher character than in the movie. Like it's just like Will Smith was like, I gotta make myself tougher in this music video. it's basically Will Smith like remaking the movie in the music video.
Yeah, there's like a weird interlude where he's running over from a machine gun.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Will Smith.
Yeah.
So he's not going to be Men in Black. I don't know why.
Or Independence Day, so.
Look how much how much he's influenced us, and it's like he just doesn't want to come back to that.
Mm-hmm.
But oh well.
Suicide Squad, guys.
Yeah.
So, other news. We got the official confirmation last week from Netflix that they're making 12 new episodes of Black Mirror.
Woot.
Which I don't know if they're going to be if it's going to be Netflix style where they'll come out at once, or they're going to do the British style where it's like 3 episodes a year. But 12 new episodes coming exclusively to Netflix, so keep an eye for those. If people are thinking if they start shooting them now, like they could come out like maybe like starting like middle or end of next year. So, but probably like 2017 is probably more likely for those.
I mean, it's high quality stuff. It's like a little mini movie, so
yeah.
I can see why they take so long to make.
Mm-hmm. If they make 12 at the same, like all at once, then that's gonna be a while, probably. Unless they do like the sets of three, like they did with on the BBC. And also, like weirdly, like one of the first episode like actually came true. Like, or like, it's sort of true now. I don't know if you guys saw that. Where, like, I forget what British, like, official was, like, talking about, like, how he, like, put his, like, dick in a pig or something. Or put his,
wait, what?
Like, he put his, like, he was talking about, like,
he really
like,
did something like that?
Like, he put it.
Come on, guys, we all do it. Guys.
Or, like, he put his dick in, like, a dead pig's mouth or something. It was, like, really weird.
Why would you admit that? That's something you'd never tell anyone.
Yeah. But all the news sites were like, Black Mirror's coming true!
You haven't seen Black Mirror yet, have you, Joe?
No, but...
The first one, like, it's a little weird to be introduced to BBC, like, Twilight Zone. But, I mean, you'll like it. It's, like, short, to-the-point stories that, like, are pretty gripping.
Mm-hmm.
Again, they're good enough that like people in America are like, "Fuck yeah, like more, like give us more." And well, that isn't Sherlock related, you know. Like it's amazing that
the Christmas special is awesome. Have you seen it yet, Chris?
Oh, I'm sure it's heartwarming.
It's just John Hamm like just like fucking people's lives up.
I mean, that's Mad Men, right?
Yeah, actually.
So, anyway, other news, Prometheus 2, has a new title, according to, Ridley Scott in an interview last week.
Who is losing his mind.
I guess, yeah. So Prometheus 2 is now officially called, Alien Paradise Lost.
You know what's weird? The fact that, like, this isn't a college movie. Someone, you know what I mean? Like, the title alone sounds like some
like a fan
filmmaker.
Film?
Yeah, that was like, ooh, like Paradise Lost was an awesome novel. Like, why not just like make something based off of that? And like, okay, good for you, first time filmmaker. But like, this is Ridley Scott. Like, are you running out of ideas? Like, what the hell happened? I'm just really confused. I was like, Paradise Lost, like, is a very famous kind of title and things. You see it a lot.
Yeah.
Like, so I'm just like, why would you call that? Why would you? Why not set a new trend? Why would you just keep following that pattern again?
Mm-hmm. And like, I think as far as we know, like it's gonna be the same. Like it's gonna be like Noomi Rapace and Michael Fassbender's head, like going to the engineer's planet, or trying to find the engineer's planet.
But also, we were wrong. We were so wrong.
But then also, like it's supposed to introduce like more like new xenomorph species or something, or like it's. But then it's also gonna like. Tie into Alien or something. It's like Ridley Scott's just like.
I told you he's so lost ideas. His mind.
Yeah, he's throwing out so many ideas out.
And it's also going to introduce the fucking Predator. Then his handler comes in like, flicking a syringe. Like, okay, Ridley, sit still.
So I think he's doing that next, as far as I know. And then he's executive producing the Blade Runner sequel.
That thing's been development hell for years. So yeah. Who knows?
Yeah. So Alien Paradise Lost is his next movie.
It's weird. Again, the title sounds like something you see in a graphic novel based on aliens.
Oh, yeah, like one of those Dark Horse, like, 90s.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, that's why I'm like, yeah. That's why I looked up. I was like, is it an adaptation of something I'm missing? It's like, nope, this is supposed to be original. I'm like, title ain't.
So, we also found out last week that there's a director for the upcoming Maniac Cop remake. That's being produced by Nicholas Winding Refn.
Yeah.
And it's, let me just double check. I think it's John Hyam, who directed, Universal Soldier Day of Reckoning, but also I think he might have directed Universal Soldier Regeneration, too.
Oh.
Okay. Well,
yeah, he did. Yeah, he did.
That's good.
Yeah, he did Regeneration and Day of Reckoning. So,
okay, so he knows how to do fight sequences. Mm-hmm. So give him that then.
Yeah. He also directed the Jean-Claude Van Damme movie Dragon Eyes that came out like last year. It's part of like the weird like After Dark Action collection.
Wait, is that the one where he's trying to get his liver back? Or his kidney?
No, that was Pound of Flesh that came out this year. This is the one that has Kong Lee in it.
Mm-hmm. It's on one of the streaming
services. It's on Netflix. Yeah, they just added that.
Yeah.
I think they added all four of those After Dark Action movies to Netflix. Because there was like Stash House with Dolph Lundgren. And then like, the other one was like Traffic or Transit or something with like Jim Caviezel.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think like Nicholas Winding Refn producing and then John Hyams directing, I think that could probably be a pretty crazy Maniac Cop remake.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the original is like this cult classic, but no means is it like a great movie you can show like to anyone. Mm-hmm. So if they make it, that's the thing. If they make it better, then that's funny. And if they make it like exactly the same, where it's like they keep it cheap and dirty, like that's also like a nice and like acknowledgement that like they want to keep the tradition of it. So they can't really go wrong. One thing they can do is make Maniac Cop like a dog, you know, like something completely off the script, and it's just like this is Maniac Cop, like this is completely a different movie.
Yeah, Ryan Gosling is Maniac Cop.
Well, even then, it just make him all disfigured and shit, and make him a renegade cop. Don't. do something stupid where, like, he's a cyborg or something like that.
Mm-hmm. They should get, like, the karaoke samurai cop from Only God Forgives as, like, the maniac cop.
Holy shit, that actually wouldn't be that bad.
Do it.
But Nicholas Winding Refn is such a weird, whatchamacallit, like a choice, because it's like, you've done all this, and now it's like, out of nowhere, it's like, I want to remake this 80s cult classic. Like, okay. It's going to be a silent movie. Like, oh, no. This again.
Not going to be one of those damn talkie pictures.
I feel like that, like, that those, like, weird 80s, like, cult movies are, like, his genre that he's, like, influenced by.
Yeah, I can see that, too. A lot of his work is, like, 80s action with, like, modern-day storytelling elements. Mm-hmm. That's why Only God Forgives is a movie that, like, I, you know, liked it, but it's I like it more for its haunting visuals than I do for its story. And Maniac Cop is not known for its, like, story. It's more for its like, hilarious horror, like, or gore, you know?
Yeah. His, like, Nicholas Winding Refn's next movie is me. It sounds like it's going to be fucking crazy.
As long as he keeps it, like, was it practical horror, then he's fine. The moment you add digital shit, then it's like, whoa, yeah. Walking down this dark path.
He's making, it's coming out next March. It's the Neon Demon, and it's about, like, this model who goes to Los Angeles, and that's, like, there's other models who might be want to, like, literally eat her to, like, steal her beauty or something.
That's kind of cool.
And, like, Keanu Reeves is in it, and, like, Christina Hendricks and Elle Fanning and a bunch of other people.
How did he convince, like...
Christina Hendricks?
Yeah, how did he convince her? Well, no, he got it from Drive, so that's not... It's, like, his friends, but...
Hamina.
It's just kind of weird how he's able to convince these people.
He probably knows, like, really terrible shit about them. I mean, that's what I think. Probably. But I feel like the Neon Demon should probably be the name of a Riff Raff album or something. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, anyway, other news. According to Vin Diesel, we're going to get a final Fast and Furious trilogy to close out that series.
The family.
Yeah, close out the family.
Close out the family.
I hope it ends with, like, the beginning of Triple X, where it just, like, comes full circle.
See how Jackson walks in and is like, I'm here to talk about the Triple X program.
Triple X, motherfucker.
I really hope at some point they bring Jason Statham in as, like, a Hannibal Lecter-esque, like, they, like, need to, like, have him help them stop, like, another, like, a crazy villain of some sort.
Yeah, that has to happen.
Yeah. And then he, like, regressionally, like, they learn, like, they learn, like, he's not, like, they learn they're not bad, and he joins the team, like, and it's just, like, Jason Statham, Vin Diesel, and The Rock, just, like, killing people.
Powerbombing people.
That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, so I guess, I think they're gonna start shooting 8 pretty soon. There were some rumors like Vin Diesel was like getting like a little was like getting into like some like fights or like
trouble
having some trouble with like the like on the set of 8 or like they were like he's like they're delaying 8 because he was causing some trouble or something. But I think they're supposed to start shooting 8 pretty soon. It's gonna take place in New York City. And I think James Wan's gonna be back to direct maybe, or they're getting a new director, but
cool.
Yeah, so keeping out I think they're looking for like it's probably gonna be 2017, I'm guessing. It seems like every other year is like Fast and Furious movie, so
fine by me.
So, last bit of news for this week is that we got the Spectre theme song.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Which is Sam Smith's Writing on the Wall. Came out last Friday, I think, on Spotify. Did you guys listen to it?
Nope.
Okay.
I mean, it's what
it's thought. It's a Sam Smith song, yeah. It's very moody and slow and depressing. it's definitely a huge step down from Skyfall.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty much anything would be a step down from Skyfall, but, like, this is especially just, like, like, it just, like, it doesn't have anything it doesn't sound like it has anything to do with, like, Spectre or, like, anything going on with the movie. It's just, like, this weird, it's just, like, it's just a random Sam Smith song. They're like, turn this into a Bond song, I don't care.
Like, does he even say Spectre at all in the lyrics? Wow.
I guess it's supposed to be sort of like, oh, we're getting, it's like, this is like, we're going into the mind of James Bond, and it's like, the writing is on the wall, and this is like, it's like, I've shot a bunch of times and missed, or something. It's just like the lyrics are supposed to be like, James Bond's, like, psyche or something, but it's just like, it doesn't sound like, a James Bond song at all. It's just like,
ugh, I want to listen to a kicking James Bond song about the movie, not about, like, his therapy. It's like a song called, like, I kill too much, like, or, like, I drink too much, and...
It's kind of what it is, basically.
Ah, boo! Like, that's I like about the old James Bond is he knew, like, who he was, and he didn't give a fuck. But now it's like, I got feelings, like,
Like it starts out okay, like it sounds like it starts out, it sounds like a Bond song, but then it just turns into like a.
Like, is it one of the songs where you start listening it slowly and you're like, wait, what? Where it's just like, oh, I kissed a man, like, what? Wait, what?
It was only once, briefly in an elevator. What?
Ooh, we were in seminary school. Like, oh boy.
We were both very vulnerable, but that's not important. Spectre.
Yeah. Like, even then, that's like a parody song. It sounds, it makes more sense than what's going on in the movie.
Yeah. I was reading on I think it was Grantland.com, their Hollywood section. Like, there was like, they did like a second by second review of the song.
Oh my god. The song is like almost 6 minutes long.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, it's not the worst Bond song, but it's very middling. So, unless the animation with it is amazing, it's gonna be like a middling, like.
Yeah, like
a few years, people would be like, "Hey, remember that? What was it? That song that was in Spectre? Remember that one? That was kind of weird."
Yeah, like I feel like is gonna rewrite Forgotten with that Jack Black, Alicia Keys one, where all they did was
Jack White, yeah.
Was like, all they showed was Desert Women.
Oh my, that was one of the worst songs with like the worst, like I would say
worst music video,
the worst like animation I've ever seen for a Bond.
See, I didn't see anything again. The Madonna one, Die Another Day. You see Bond getting tortured by North Koreans.
Yeah, like,
that was kind of better.
Because it actually like progressed the plot during the credits, and that just had like random women flying around and guns shooting off.
And this, I'm like, I can't imagine what they're going to do. Like, how are they going to recover from this when the song is not exactly blowing off the chart? Because I remember like when that Skyfall came out, they were playing on the radio like months before the movie came out.
Mm-hmm.
I have not heard the song on the radio yet.
I'm giving it like a week or two. I'm sure it'll be all over the place.
Yeah, but like the music video better be like something to match the classic Bond feel, not like, oh, we're gonna show you like the landscape and some snow.
It's just, or, like, it's just all ghosts. It's all just like spooky ghosts.
Oh yeah. Oh my god.
Hey, that wasn't a specter, that was a phantom. Ooh,
the specter. It's the ghost of James Bond's past.
It's a freaky ghost.
They just show you clips from, like, Quantum of Solace.
Yeah, why isn't David Bowie making a James Bond song?
I can't remember my past.
Well, they want him to,
for
but
my
he,
future.
It was because the goddamn View to Kill that made it all go down the drain.
Yeah.
Do you imagine a View to Kill, like, could have been this awesome Bowie moment, but nope.
Is that, was it Duran Duran?
Yeah, that was the Duran Duran one.
Yeah.
God almighty.
An hour and a half of James Bond going to a horse auction for no reason. It has nothing to do with the plot. It has nothing to do with anything.
That's a movie we can get drunk with.
The movie's like 2.5 hours. It's like one of the longest Bond movies. It's just like, it's terrible.
Oh yeah, there's deep gets of nothing.
Yeah.
But like, again, judging by Bond movies, at least that was like staying within trend of like Bond-esque things, and people right. like hate it now, or like kind of love hate it now. I love it because I watched it a lot as a kid, but I like, it's not my favorite Bond movie, of course. Then you get this Spectre where basically a lot of this is because of the hype of Skyfall, and we like our Bonds moody and gritty, so it can't be like lighthearted and fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know when we're gonna go back to that Bond. Like, we can't ever go to like a Bond that pretends to be like Sindhim Snight and then goes and tries to buy like horse tranquilizers or steroids. Like, we're not gonna get that again.
Yeah. Like, Daniel Craig's not gonna like disguise himself as a clown and like go into like a circus.
He is not gonna go to the South and fight like a black drug lord. Like, that's yeah. not gonna happen.
And team up with like a redneck sheriff and like do like a Dukes of Hazzard barrel roll over a swamp.
It wasn't like the Roger Moore era. Every time there was a car, they always do the drive on two wheel trick.
They did.
They did that a lot.
They did like they did like the like the crazy like spit like the 360 spin over yeah, like a swamp, and then
yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, and there's one.
There was one trick where they always ride on two wheels.
Yeah, I think it might have been a Vito Kill where like the car got cut in half, or like it was like eventually like it was just like Bond in like the front of the car driving around.
Yeah, that was a Vito Kill.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, so we'll have to see what's going on with that song in the movie in November. So, and that's it for news this week. So, why don't we get into show and tell? And Joe, what have you been watching over the last week or so here?
Oh, man. Well, let's see. I've made some questionable viewing choices, pretty lately, or in the past couple of weeks. And by choices, I mean one choice in particular. Well, first, let me just say that I saw Frankenhooker on Showtime. Surprisingly, not a porn. So yeah, I saw that. I'll get to that in a minute. But first, let's talk about the real horror show. I saw Hot Tub Time Machine 2.
Ooh.
And that movie was terrible.
It like almost kills your love of the first movie.
It does kill your love of the first movie. I was like, the first one was so good. Like, oh, it was so funny. And then like the more of this I watched, I was like, was the first one good? I don't think it was that good now that I look back on it. Like, this has devalued the first movie. It was just, like, it lost all the charm. I forgot who everyone was, by the way. Like, I don't know, they relied too much on, like, people thinking that it was, like, an iconic comedy, kind of like The Hangover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I was like, I don't remember. How do you know him? Oh, you're his son? Oh, that's weird. Like, I didn't remember much of the first one.
You have to, like, watch the first one, then immediately watch this one. Because there's, like, no, like, get you ready for this moment. It's kind of like, and we start.
Yeah, and why it's so serious. And, like, that's it. So, yeah, I just was not a fan, dude. Like, it was super immature, which is fine. But there was no actual, like, comedy behind it. It was just kind of like, it was just like a 2-hour, it was like an hour and a half long fart joke. Like, it just
wasn't. And then it becomes a ball joke at some point.
Yeah, well, I don't mean, like, literally a fart joke, but it was just like, okay, like, you can, that's only going to be funny so many times, you know? Like, I just really was not a fan. I mean, there were some parts that were very funny.
Yeah.
There were some parts that were very funny, like, when they take the drugs or whatever, like, the ladybug patch that, like, stays on for 24 hours, and, like, he calls his girlfriend, and he's like, I'm a god! And she's like, I thought you weren't going to do it, I thought you weren't going to drink, and it's just like, his crazy night in first person, and then, like, with the GoPro footage. Like, that was funny, but that wasn't enough to save the fucking movie. It was brutal. Brutal!
I feel like there was, like, a bunch of short comedy ideas, like a killer car, fucking, like, finding the guy's son
yeah.
that Adam Scott was. Then there was, like, finding out who killed Lou. Like, all these little subparts, just, like, I feel like they so unfocused, they just mash it together.
And none of them are good.
No.
None of them are good. The funniest thing was when it's like showing what they did with the time machine in the beginning, where it's like, oh, I invented like Lugal instead of Google. And like, I'm also like the most successful rock star in the world. Like, that was kind of funny. And then with like Craig Robinson doing the like Lisa Loeb song and like.
I just seen Lisa Loeb.
Like, Right. And like all these like really famous songs. Like, that was kind of funny, but that's like 6 minutes of the movie, you know? So just not good. Not good. If I were you, I would skip the sequel. One more thing. The advertising for this movie was super goddamn misleading, because they show that clip from the very end, like right before the credits, where they keep coming out of the time machine from like different time periods.
That's like the end of the movie.
That's like the last minute of the movie, where it's like, oh, I just got back from the Revolutionary War. Like, you're not going to be welcome there. Like, they showed that in the trailer for this movie and made it seem like they were going to be like actually doing time travel. So not that would make anybody like outraged, but it was just very misleading, because I was like, oh, they're going to go back to like slave times or something. It's going to be funny. But I was like, nope. No, they're not. I'm not sure what's going on, actually. So skip it.
Yep.
That's my best advice. Skip
I
mean, it.
When I saw it, I was like, you got to be a huge, crazy fan of the first one to actually like really appreciate the second one.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say if you worked on that movie or like know someone in it, definitely watch it. But if not, just fucking skip it. Now let's talk about Frankenhooker. Starring nobody you know, nobody that you ever would know. It was actually really fucking funny. Like, it was pretty much a trauma movie, but like a step down, or maybe a step up, depending on how you look at it. But as you might expect, it's a riff on the Frankenstein story, where a young man who is a crazy inventor accidentally murders his girlfriend.
As you do.
Yeah, with a lawnmower, nonetheless. Spoiler alert, he basically, because she's so mangled, he has to find like different body parts to bring her back together, because he was able to preserve her head. So he just starts paying all these hookers to like kind of make a woman that would like kind of resemble her. And he takes some creative liberties too, which is actually pretty funny. Well, let me tell you, business really starts picking up when he makes a new, more powerful form of crack to give to the hookers. It's pretty dark. That makes them explode. If you want to check it out, I would YouTube the Frankenhooker exploding hookers scene. Where it's literally just like they made paper mache models of every hooker in the movie and blew them up with like firecrackers. Like, it was that bad, but it's so funny that by the third one, you're like laughing your ass off. Like the first one, you're like, oh my God, is this serious? But then by like the sixth or seventh hooker that they blow up, you're like, oh, that's why they did it, because they had to blow up every hooker in the room and they don't have blow up hooker money. So, yeah, he makes the Frankenhooker. He tries to bring his girlfriend back. He puts her head on the Frankenhooker body. The problem is she's got, like, the memories of all the other hookers, the parts that she's, like, stitched together from. So she goes out in a trampy rage and hooks. The problem is she, too, has the killer crack in her, but she's immune to it. But anyone she touches eventually explodes. From sex. So, yeah, or like just kind of touching. I will say the actress who played the Frankenhooker, fucking hysterical. Like, she was the best part of that movie. Like, just the weird way that she walks and shit, too. Like, I don't know. This is definitely one of those, like, after midnight comedies that you're like, can I fap to this? I'm not really sure. And then as it goes on, you're like, oh, I definitely can't, but this is great. Like, I don't even care. I'm going to watch this whole thing. I try to watch this movie with my friend Brandon and my friend Mike. Mike, not to throw anybody under the bus, but he may have got in from a night of drinking at 6 a.m. and then we wanted to do this at noon. So he was on about 2 hours of sleep and was still plastered, allegedly. And it was like 9 a.m. for Brandon because he's on the West Coast. So it was just like this odd combination of shit that my friends were like, well, let's, I can't finish this. Like, I don't have this in me. And I was like, okay. And I waited about 10 minutes, gathered my thoughts, and then went and watched it by myself. So that was a dark experience. Like, it was a movie that was so bad that I had two friends tap to it. And then I was like, no, I need to know. I need to know what happens. Possibly my favorite part of this movie is the Spanish bodybuilder pimp who is just like, oh, fuck, I forget his name, but he's just like supposed to be this super badass, but he just wears these awesome 90s workout pants and like Y-back tank tops. He's like the most non-threatening guy. Like, he basically looks like someone's dad in the 90s who like lifts weights. Like, there's nothing menacing really about him, except that apparently he's crazy, but you never really get to see him be crazy. It's kind of interesting. All in all, Frankenhooker, I think, is a lost classic, and it's actually a much more popular movie than I realized. Like, a lot of people really love this movie, I found out.
Is it an old movie? Like, how long ago?
90s,
this?
Early 90s, like 91 or 92. I highly recommend watching it. I know that sounds fucking insane, but I really do. Like, it's very funny. And there's a lot of, like, prosthetic boobs and stuff, and gratuitous nudity, and just, it's fun. It's fun. And you get to say Frankenhooker, so what's better than that? And, yeah, that is what I've been watching.
Alrighty, have you seen anything, Chris?
Yeah, I went on a Gotham bender,
Jesus Christ.
I've been trying to grind through as much Gotham as I could in, like, a week, and I got down from, like, episode 2 to, like, 13, so I put enough damage in there, but I thought I was almost done, but it's like, nope, I still got another, like, 13 to go. And I know, like, when you guys first watched it, it was, like, a love-hate thing, where you just want to see how crazy this rabbit hole can go until, like, it broke your spirits. And I can get to the point where, like, yeah, now I can see where it's getting weird. Like, now I can see them trying to fight for who the hell they're writing for now. Like, every other episode is like, one guy was writing a cop drama, one guy wanted to make, like, the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and then one guy wanted to make, like, Batman Begins, like, light.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, like, I guess they all got hammered because, like, the fucking episode order is, like, out of control, where it should have started, like, as a cop drama for the first few episodes before it becomes, like, this weird foreshadow, like, every villain and, like, Maroney and whoever his name is.
Falcone.
The old guy. Falcone. Right? So it's, like, I want to focus on the good parts where basically, the cop side is really good. Harvey and Gordon work well, like, for the first few episodes. Like, I like them doing their job and, like, how corrupt the city is. And, like, how, basically, Gordon is trying to fight through the corruption. Because when he fights Zaz by himself, that was not bad. I didn't mind that. Like, that was kind of cool, right? And if they never bring up Batman, like, I'm actually fine with this being just Gordon's, like, trying to, you know, trying to fight corruption and against these crazy, like, up and coming villains. You know, like, I don't know what I want from this, like, from this point, right? Then once I get to the goat, then I was like, fuck it, I want this to be a superhero show now. Like, where the hell's Batman? Because now I'm getting to the crazy side of, like, impossible villainy and, like, just meta craziness where it's just like, yeah, like, she's a hypnotist that makes goat people. Like, okay, mm-hmm. Like, I'm bored, so now opens the door for possibility of having a Batman.
And don't they never saw, like, oh, something, like, I forget how they end that, but, like, I think, don't they shoot her or something, and it's just like, well, bye.
Well, it's like they assume they capture her after she gets shot in the foot, so it's like, okay, case closed.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm like, okay, whatever, they're trying to get as much.
The Scarecrow arc hasn't shown up yet, right?
I just got to the part where Gordon just did the whole, like, I'm busting the mob, and then Barbara just goes off the rails now, where, like, uh-oh. She's she's getting Betty Drapered, where she's just like, ah, it's not about me. And then I just did the episode where Gordon's at Gotham, which I was like, oh, this would be a nice change of pace for a few more episodes, where it's like he can't do direct justice. So now he's just like on the sidelines while everything's kind of falling apart, or like there's more development for everyone else's arc. But it isn't. I'm like, this show is forcing everyone to be in the same fucking network. Or same shared problem between the, you know, Wayne's die or being dead, and then it's like the power struggle and Arkham development. I'm like, I don't give a fuck about the real estate. Like, why is this like a big arc? Like, there's no one else. Is there no more land in Gotham where they all have to fight for this one plot?
It's bad.
I'm always saying that because it's like that became a goddamn running theme now for the last few episodes, where like they're always trying to figure out the Arkham project.
Land deal.
I'm just like, oh, fucking land deals. Ever since fucking True Detective 2, I'm like, fucking land deals. And
this paper has so many signatures on it.
I'm just like, I wish to take a photocopy or something. I'm just like, I love how crazy, like, corrupt the city is, right? Like, that's a good angle. That that's why things are out of control. But when you make the only guy who's actually giving a damn, like, way more complicated, like, hilariously complicated, where it's like, little kid's giving him problem, his own girlfriend's giving him problem, like, his job's giving him problems. I'm just like, whoa, this is way too much for, like, a few episodes to kind of deal with before it tries to, like, fix itself. Now, again, I didn't mind,
What's great is that, like, every other episode, like, Gordon either gets fired or he's just like, I'm gonna clean up the city, but I'm gonna. But you can do whatever you want. I don't care.
There's always like I'm gonna be disciplined. It's like, Gordon, get in here.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Go back on traffic duty. Yeah, it's like I figure, like, what are they gonna make him do? He's like the janitor for GCPD for like an episode, and then there's that like every few episodes he has to go back to Bruce and be like, I'm gonna find your parents' killers. Oh, yeah. See you later.
He literally does that like every other episode. He's just like, I'm sorry, Bruce. I'm being sent to Arkham. I can't solve your parents' murder anymore. And like the next episode's like, all right, Bruce, I'm back. I'm gonna solve your parents' murder.
Yeah. So I'm just kind of like, oh wow. Now it's getting more obvious. Where I'm like, but that's what I'm saying. In my head, I was like, it's only a few more episodes. I looked at it. It's a full 26 episode season. Like, shit. There's more of this where like he goes back to apologize. So, you know, I'm gonna stick through it because it's a great like noisemaker while I'm like doing other things. I streamed like three episodes together where I like looked down, did my work, looked back up and like looked at the screen and there's just like Gordon yelling at Barbara. Then I looked back down and looked back up and like they're back at the restaurant where Maroney is like, you know, yelling at Penguin. Like that's just like, I'm picking, that could be any episode of the last like episodes 8 through 13.
Yeah. Report back when you get to the circus episode with the Graysons and like,
well, I'm at that tipping point where I speak my interest, where like there's that, you know, girls' night episode.
Oh,
so
yeah,
I'm like, I can feel it coming. I can feel it coming in the setup already. Oh, and then to top it off, I watched Saving Silverman, which is on TV. I needed something to cleanse the Batman. Totally. When it first came out, it was like this super bizarre comedy that no one asked for between like Jack Black and Jason Biggs and the other guy,
Steve Zahn.
Yeah. And it was weird because like, if you look at it, the show, there's so many things that Family Guy kind of mimics off of. There's like cutaways. There's just obscure jokes, like one-time joke references they use. And
like the fact that they're a Neil Diamond tribute band.
Like it just, that's a nice, like, weird like thing, you know, like that's not like a major thing, but the fact that they actually had Neil Diamond come on board, and he was so against the idea. He was like, yeah, you can use my music, but I don't want to be in the movie. And they're like, oh no, come on, we'll pay you more to be in the movie. He's just like, fuck, okay. So I did like that. Like, this is a weird comedy that I actually enjoy. And at the time, like, I didn't like cutaways, but this was like pre-Family Guy when it came out, so the fact that like cutaways are just a thing now, and you know, like a very popular thing to explain side jokes real fast, and this whole fucking movie is side jokes, like, you know, like they're just like, ah, we'll make this one weird reference, whoa, let's go back and have a flashback. But it's I always thought it was like a Farley Brothers movie, and it's not. That's like another surprising thing about it. It feels like it wants to be a Farley Brothers movie.
Yeah, it feels like they're like needed to get it out there to like to get some of that, like there's something about Married Money or something.
Yeah, it's like right in that same niche of trying to make adult comedies, but this is like it didn't go it almost teetered on it where it's like it was kind of crude enough and like fart jokey to be like appealable to like guys, but like it wasn't like sexual enough to be like a Farley Brothers thing where it's like a semen joke or something.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's on always. Like I know like TBS always has a censored version all the time, so you'll catch it at some point, everyone.
Yeah.
What about you, Zach? What have you been watching?
Well, for movies, I watched Cop Car, because we got a review copy of that, so I got a chance to check that out.
I like, Dude, Where's My Car, too?
Yeah, or Kevin Bacon's Cop Stash. Call it Cop Stash.
Cop Stash.
Yeah, it's a... I guess it played at a bunch of like the festivals earlier this year, like Sundance and Toronto and a bunch of other festivals. It's a very like low key, like minimal thriller. Like there's only like four characters. And
is the car one of the characters?
Kind of, I guess. I don't know. But no, it's basically these two kids find they're just kind of wandering around their outside their town, and then they find a cop car in the middle of a field, and then they kind of figure like figure out there's no cops around, there's no one around that they can like get them in trouble. They like find out that like the keys are still in it, so they basically just take it for a joyride, and then you kind of find out through like a flash, it kind of like jumps backwards, and then you find out that like Kevin Bacon's sheriff is the one who left the cop car in the middle of the field, and he's doing some shady stuff. So, and then he basically needs to find this where these kids went and get his car back. And then that's pretty much it. I mean, it's just like the kids are driving this car around, and Kevin Bacon's trying to find them and get the car back.
Is there like a twist where like the car comes alive?
No. It's really straightforward. It kind of feels like maybe like Coen Brothers Light or like an Elmore Leonard short story or something. They got adapted. Like it's just like because it's like that. It's like a really like rural, weird, like a desert setting, and yeah, just like only a few characters, and there's like a couple tense like dialogue sequences and stuff. Kevin Bacon's really awesome in it. Like he's like super sleazy and like just like using like his like sheriff powers to he basically gets everyone off to, like the police radio frequency so he can like talk to the kids by himself so no one knows and like basically like, cancels any sort of like search for his car. And then there's some fun with the kids where, like they're like because they have like their like naive kid logic, so like because they don't understand how cars work, they have to basically figure out how this car works by just like driving around this field, and like they just like they like mess with all the stuff in the car, and like they mess with like the guns and like the nightsticks and the tasers and everything that's in the car. So
is the soundtrack funny? Like it sounds like it should be a comedy, honestly.
It's not,
but the fact that it's like a drama, it's like what?
No, it's a thriller, I guess, but it's not like it's like Coen Brothers Light. It's like No Country for Old Men, but like with like four characters in the middle of like this like weird like desert town.
The moral story is like don't fuck with Middle America.
Yeah, or don't leave your cop car in the middle of a field if you're a cop. But it feels like it'll probably show up at Netflix at some point, so I'd say maybe check it out there if you wanna. If you're a Kevin Bacon fan, like it's a fun Kevin Bacon role performance and stuff. So
if you're a Baconator fan,
yeah. If you like sweet stashes, And then, yeah, just more TV stuff, because the fall season is rolling on here. So, I saw the first episode of The Player, with aka Wesley Snipes Blacklist. That's based,
how'd that go?
It's based. I mean, it's almost. It's like literally the black. It's like the same formula the Blacklist does, where it's just like take an actor and just let them do whatever the hell they want, and then throw some action around it. And then, because if the Blacklist didn't have James Spader, it'd be like a very boring generic show. And then this is also would be a boring generic show if it didn't have Wesley Snipes in it.
Hmm.
But with him in it, it's pretty fun. Probably like the best new action show of the season, of the fall TV season.
Cool.
It's basically Person of Interest in Las Vegas.
Okay.
Because
except everyone's gambling on the Person of Interest. Yeah,
because these super rich gamblers have basically come up with this computer system or database or something that can analyze human actions, and so they can predict crimes, and then they have the player go out, and then they bet on whether he can prevent these crimes or not. And then Wesley Snipes is the pit boss, so he like basically runs everything and makes sure the player doesn't reveal the operation. And then they have British Felicity, who is like the dealer, and she basically like unlocks everything and like gives all the information to the player. But yeah, it's a fun show. Like, it's just like the first episode is like they have to like prevent like this like kidnapping or like this, stop this kidnapping, and then probably the best part is the end, where toward the end of the episode where like Wesley Snipes shows up in like this police station because the player I can't remember the character's name, but like he got arrested, and then Wesley Snipes shows up and basically is like this like pretending to be like this like Southern lawyer, like Southern FBI agent, is like, well, see here, sir, we got the videotape right here, it shows he's innocent, I reckon.
Oh my god.
Like he reminded me of like
I do declare.
Basically, yeah, like he reminded me of like, you remember on like Futurama, like the Southern chicken lawyer? Like it's basically what Wesley Snipes was doing at like the end of this episode. He's like, y'all have a good day now. And then there seems like the ongoing arc is like the player's Alex Kane is the player. It's like, and it's the other guy from Strike Back, which NBC took both guys from Strike Back and gave them shows.
But like different shows.
Different shows, yeah. Because Sullivan Stapleton is on Blind Spot, aka Lady in a Bag.
Lady in a Bag.
But yeah, so it's if you're a fan of Wesley Snipes, or if you're like if you're just like a decent action show, and Blacklist, I think it's gonna be on after Blacklist, so that's a good like 1-2, like action palooza on Thursdays. So,
another thing about like the show, like I can't figure out, is like, what if they want to nuke Vegas? Doesn't everyone in the city lose? Like even the dealer and like the pit boss? Like I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't...
Like that's really fucked up. Where it's like, oh, we still bet. I gotta honor this, even though I might get nuked.
It seems like,
do the villains know that they're playing a game?
I don't think so.
It'd be really fucked up where it's like, hey, I got an email. It's like, oh, wait, what? Like, there's a guy coming to me?
Yeah. Anyway, I also saw the first episode of The Grindr, which is the...
I actually saw that, too.
Yeah.
I saw that and Grandfathered, so let's talk about that.
Well, the second Rob Lowe show for the season.
Yeah.
Because everyone's Moonbeam City.
Yeah, which I fucking love, by the way.
Mm-hmm. 80s Archer, it's, basically.
Yeah, it's weird, and it's not as good as Archer, but it's, you know, if it comes into itself,
yeah. It doesn't have like the supporting cast of Archer yet.
No.
Because the only other character besides Rob Lowe's Dazzle is Will Forte's Rad.
Yeah, Rad. Oh my god, what's his name? Rad Cunningham.
Rad Cunningham, who had like the greatest like breakdown monologue of all time in the last second episode, where he's just like, I fell in a sewer and there was poop in my mouth. And then
how is there footage of this?
And then I pooped and the poop was in the poop.
Yeah, that was really funny.
Yeah,
Red Cunningham may be my new alias. So
it's pretty great. But yeah, anyway, so the Grindr. I think the AV Club said it's like the Battle of the Network Smarm.
Yeah,
Fox, because it's like it's John Stamos and Rob Lowe back to back.
Yep.
I thought it was okay. Like the Grindr.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty funny. Yeah. There was some shit going on too, just like how he's such an over actor and everything.
Yeah.
Like that was kind of funny. But it'll pick up, I'm hoping.
Yeah. It seems like it's got a good formula of like Rob Lowe's like blowhard TV lawyering matched up with like Fred Savage's like not like nerdy knowledge of everything.
Yeah. And I just like that he like couldn't speak.
Oh my god.
He knows everything. He's reading
from the note cards, just like my clients were getting rent and then they got the rent, sent the check.
Yeah. But if he even reads it that well, like there was other shit where it's like
it's a great like guest, like I love like Kumail Nanjiani as the rival lawyers, like really? Are we doing this?
Yeah, that was really good. I like when he was like, first of all, totally not a lawyer. None of this counts. Like, this is all. None of this is admissible.
I also love when like Rob Lowe like is like helping his nephew like with like the negotiations, like. It's like because he has like some like 10th grader like cool 10th grader come over to the house, but he's like actually interested in like the sister. So then, but then he's like, you're gonna say you had to, like,
you're gonna give him a piggyback and you're gonna take a picture of it and tweet hashtag teen life
hashtag best friends hashtag teen life.
Yeah, and it's like what teen life? It's like, what part about hashtag teen life did you not understand?
Yeah, I also love how like William Devane, who's like the dad, is like. Just super excited about everything Rob Lowe does.
Everything.
It's like yes! Yes!
He always has that, like, shit-eating grin on his face. Yes.
Awesome, Dean! Great job!
So, did you see Grandfather?
I didn't see Grandfather. I just watched Grindr.
You know, I have to say, it was actually pretty funny. Like, I wasn't really expecting much from it, especially because it was just the pilot. But, man, like, I laughed. I thought it was surprisingly good. Surprisingly good. And I'm glad that it wound up being good. And that's all I really have to say.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess sticking to Fox comedy is like all the Fox Sunday shows are back too. So Last Man on Earth, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Simpsons, The Family Guy.
Only one I saw was Family Guy. And I thought it was very good.
It was super solid. It was like the TV guy listening was like totally wrong. Like they said it was completely. Like because they said it was like a Halloween episode. Like they like it was like a Paranormal Activity episode, like spoof or something. But it wasn't. Like that's like in like next week or 2 weeks or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, Last Man on Earth was awesome. Like just as good as it was like. Picked up right where we left off last season. Brooklyn Nine-Nine, great. They had Bill Hader come in as the new chief.
Oh, nice.
And then they put Andre Brower. They're kind of doing like how The Office like put Michael in like the Michael Scott Paper Company or something. Like it's kind of like, I mean, he'll definitely be back at some point in the season, but for right now he's like off in his own thing. He kind of like exiled to like the PR department of the NYPD, which is like this like horrible disaster. Like it took them like 8 months to come up with a name for like the NYPD's like parrot or pigeon like mascot. because they couldn't decide between Petey or Polly. And then probably one of the worst Simpsons episodes of all time was also.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn. That's upsetting.
Because they hyped up, like, all the hype for, like, all summer was like, Marge and Homer are getting divorced. Oh, noes. And then it was just like, it's like they ended with like multiple, it was like, spoiler, it was like multiple dreams. So it's not, like, nothing matters, nothing even happens in the episode. It was terrible. And then I also watched the first episode of Super Mansion, which is up early on Crackle and YouTube.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, definitely, if you're a fan of Robot Chicken or especially Titan Maximum, it's definitely, it's in that vein. Yeah, really fun. Like a lot of great, like, they're like parodies of like different superheroes, but like kind of like twisting them to like these weird, like, there's like a, I think it's Captain Freedom is like the basically the Captain America, but he's like super racist. And like, it's like basically like they're playing the, is how Cap is like, if Cap was actually like from the 40s, like they made him like act like he wasn't from the 40s. Like, it's like talking about, like, he meets like President Obama. He's just like, don't, I'll put in a good word for you with the, with the senators, sir. He basically thinks he's like the bathroom attendant or something. And like, it's like, that's the president. And then like their Batman equivalent is like, he's rich, but he has to like ask his parents for money. And then probably the best part is like their robot, who like has an existential crisis during their big battle. And then like starts researching his like creators and finds out like his creators are Jewish. So he turns himself into Jewbot. And now, so he has this like Jewish advisor with him all the time. And then he's just like, can he say that? And he's like, we do not support this at all. We don't support the name Jewbots. So it's a fun like superhero spoof show. Bryan Cranston's awesome on it, as usual.
Of course.
So
yeah.
I think it's officially starting on the 8th, but it's not like the first episode's on Crackle right now, so you can watch it. And then last thing is I saw the first episode back for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which was okay. Definitely a super like setup episode.
Am I totally off base here, or did I see like what looked like Blackheart from Marvel vs. Capcom in the teaser for an episode?
I think it's actually the Marvel character Mephisto. Lash.
Oh, Lash. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I was gonna say, I was like, what the fuck?
It's kind of sort of they're doing like Inhumanity this season, like that sort of arc.
Oh, well, that's cool.
Which was that last year or something in the comics, like, or like 2 years ago?
Yeah, that's last year.
Because that's when it was like post Age of Ultron, and that was like one of the arcs that came out of Age of Ultron, basically.
Yeah, because like didn't all the gods' planet get fucked up? So it's like they're coming down to Earth and just making new ones.
Well, in the comics, like the Terrigen Mist came to Earth and like basically started turning everyone who was like had like the inhuman gene got turned into humans.
Yeah, and they were like random powers too.
So they're kind of the same thing here, but like, so kind of spoilers for last season, but the Inhumans, there's a case of like Terrigen crystals that got lost in the ocean at the end of last season, and so they spread out into like the ocean and like contaminated fish, and now there's fish oil supplements, and people who are taking those are turning into Inhumans if they have the gene. And also, it might be other things too, like other seafood. But yeah, basically that's what is the kind of the factor that's turning people into Inhumans this season.
That says a lot about the fishing community, about like overfishing being a problem.
Yeah. But yeah, so, and then the big thing is like Sky, aka Daisy, now is leading like basically like being the Secret Avengers to like go and find the Inhumans and like kind of like either stop them or like help them control their powers.
Wait, why is she called Daisy?
Because she's actually Daisy Johnson, who's Quake, the Marvel character Quake.
Ah.
She has, like...
So all along, she was Quake.
Yeah, she has psychic powers. Yeah.
Crazy.
And there's, like, a new... There's, like, a... They're not Hydra, but, there's, like, a kind of, like, another... It seems like, I think they kind of set it up at the end of the first, this first episode back. There's, like, a team of the president is set up. President William Sadler is set up to, hunt down inhuman, like, hunt down all alien threats and stop them.
Wait, is it really William Sadler?
Yeah, it's William Sadler who's playing the president.
Cool, so they keep the Iron Man reference still on.
Yep. And they reference Ant-Man and Sokovia and then Age of Ultron this first episode.
That's cool.
So they're definitely keeping up, like, the cinematic universe connections.
Really fucking weird if they introduce, like, X-Men stuff. Like, oh, did you hear about that time they almost killed Nixon?
Yeah. I wonder what they're going to do when Spider-Man finally shows up. So, like... I really want to see what's happening in Civil War, because that's going to be, like, the big test of, like, if they don't fucking show up in Civil War, it's just going to be like, what are they doing? What are they doing during this? Because it was really weird that they weren't just, like, not even in the background of, like, the Hell Carrier in Age of Ultron.
Just floating around.
Yeah.
Waiting for
just like, just like show Coulson like in the background, just like helping people escape or something. It's just like
they could have used an extra carrier to like ferry more people. That could have saved Quicksilver's life.
Yeah,
but no.
The actual Age of Ultron tie-in was pretty good though. Like they actually like they attack like they took out the first facility and then they got the info for like the facility to, that they attack at the beginning of Age of Ultron, like the Hydra base. So, and then they give it to Maria Hill,
who off camera just helps.
So yeah, so that's it for TV. We got like Arrow, Flash, iZombie, Walking Dead. All starting next week, I think, so even more stuff.
Yeah.
It's crazy times right now for TV, so. And, yeah, so I think that's going to do for this week's show. You can head over to the site right now. We got our Masters of the Universe commentary up right now for, that was our September movie of the month. We try to figure out what the hell is going on in that movie.
You can't. I wonder how the hell they had the rights, and then with the rights, how do they go so wrong?
Yeah. How did Canon get, like, the rights to, like, the biggest franchise of the 80s?
And then how, like, why didn't they just make the story to place the show? Why did they decide to bring Courtney Cox?
I wonder if they answer that in the... Because that Canon documentary is, like, I think it's out or it's coming out soon. Like, I definitely want to see, like, if that's part of it, like...
Oh, yeah, did that come out? I forgot they made one about all the craziness behind the scenes.
I think it's out right now. It might be out right now on VOD. It's on DVD or Blu-ray pretty soon. I think there should also be a... Because How Does This Get Made is doing that for the next episode. So there's going to be a slash film oral history... For that.
Oh, they're doing Masters of the Universe?
Yeah, they're doing Masters of the Universe for our next episode. So there should be, because they're doing those oral histories now for every episode. That should be a pretty good one. And also up on our site, we got the October movie preview, so you can find out what's coming out this for October movie wise. And yeah, all of our usual features up there as well. You can read my review of Cop Car up there on the site. And yeah, and then stay tuned. We're not going to have a podcast next week, so we're going to be at Comic-Con. But yeah, definitely follow our Twitter and Facebook pages for all of our Comic-Con coverage. I'm sure we'll be taking pictures and all sorts of other stuff of all the random hijinks we're getting into. We're going to like the Blade Blood Rave and like the Adult Swim Cruise and... possibly seeing, like, meeting Bruce Campbell, a bunch of other insanity. So keep an eye on that next weekend for all of our stuff. And, yeah, so I think that'll pretty much do it for this week. And for Chris and Joe, I'm Zach, and we will see you after Comic-Con.
For more Everything Action, visit everythingaction.com. Email us at contact@everythingaction.com. Facebook.com/everything.action. Twitter.com/EVAction. Everythingaction.tumblr.com. And search for us on the iTunes Music Store and Stitcher.com.